Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your heart towards us, Lord, that you love us as your sons and daughters, Lord, that you have provided everything necessary for life and godliness, Lord. And we thank you for the forgiveness that you've shown us, Lord, that you have provided for us, Lord, that you have protected us, and that you have done every good thing for us, Lord. We ask that you'll continue to order our steps, that you will continue to guide us and to minister to us our needs, Lord, as we discuss your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us. Glad to be able to get into the word together with you so we can all learn and grow in our relationship with the Lord together. We're not arrived. No one has arrived. Mm-hmm. He is still teaching us and perfecting us and refining us day by day and moment by moment. So let's do that. Let's get into the word and be refined, become more conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. Now with that, we're continuing in James chapter 1, going over verses 22 through 27, which is the end of the chapter. So if you're joining us for the first time, or you're rejoining us, I want to encourage you to pause the episode and just take a moment to read through that section of scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who would like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
All right. So last episode, I opened with a thought that I was having about the difference between man and woman in the garden and us today. And I wanted to round it out with this. Christ came to redeem us, right? And sometimes in our mind, we hold that he just redeemed us to the law of Moses, when the reality is that he redeemed us from the law of sin and death,
amen,
which means he takes us all the way back to the relationship that man and woman had in the garden with the Lord before sin was.
Amen.
Which is the same kind of relationship that he has. So now, no longer when we come into Christ, are we stupefied by the deception that is inherent to those who are born in the natural into this world. But now we've been elevated so that truth is our lens, what we hear through, what we see, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, what we live. The truth of the word of God is what makes us who we are. And when you look at Christ's ministry, he was never deceived by anything or anyone. Even walking with Judas, he knew the entire time that he was a deceiver and he was going to be the betrayer. And he was not fooled. He was not caught off guard by it or any of those kind of things. And he was not deceived, but he looked at everything from the perspective that the Father has. And that has what has been bestowed upon us now, because we're in Christ Jesus. So when you see James, as he's coming through the scriptures and says, but be a doer of the word and not hearer only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So he's saying we've been redeemed to this place that we're not deceived anymore, that we're joint heirs with Christ Jesus and the same status in regards to our relationship with the Lord, as we have full on access to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit without hindrance, shame, or separation. Don't forget that. Don't forget who you are. Don't look at this perfect law of liberty, which is contained in the life of Christ Jesus that you have been made a partaker of because you've come into covenant with him. Don't throw that away. Don't throw away the understanding, the knowledge of God that's been provided to you about how the kingdom of God works, and then go off and act like you're still a part of the world. Don't do that. Stay in your identity in Christ Jesus. Stay in the truth of the Word of God. Stay in the wisdom that God supplies and provides. Stay in your covenant relationship with Christ Jesus and receive and partake of all the benefits. Now, he speaks to ones who are babies. And in this opening, he's speaking to some that are immature, and I'll say childlike in their mentality. And he's saying, hey, grow up. Grow up. Keep growing up. Keep moving forward in the things of God. And here are the steps that you look for to identify that you are making that climb in the maturation process. You're taking the steps necessary in that growth process. And as you're doing this, this is what you expect to hear. This is what you expect to have come about in your life. So keep that in mind. Christ didn't just redeem us back to the law of Moses. That is, the law of Moses isn't the beginning of anything, right? He redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death, which actually came in at the garden, not under the law of Moses. So he took us all the way back to what the relationship opportunity was that we had with him when the earth was founded. And the same kind of relationship that Christ has with the Father. We are sons and daughters, not distant, right? We have access. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Everything that Christ won and that was he inherited and that was bestowed upon him, he shares with us. Now, his name is the name that is highly exalted. Kamisha's name isn't highly exalted. I get to partake of his name.
Amen.
But that is what man and woman could partake of in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. So just value that and take that to heart and understand that as well.
Absolutely. And so I just want to follow up with that, because in the last episode, we ended talking about the doing part, right? Mm-hmm. Demonstrating our love for the Lord and our faith, right? That's the currency of his kingdom, mm-hmm. because that is what he is, right? He is love and mm-hmm. he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Those things did not originate with us, mm-hmm. right? We are only reciprocated back to him.
And don't forget hope, because he has hope, right? The joy that was set faith before for Christ the future, Jesus. Right? Amen. He says that the word says that he looked at the joy that was set before him. That means he looked at the hope.
Amen.
The expectation of what his faith would bring forth, right, and his obedient actions would bring forth.
Yes. That's faith and hope, right?
These three.
The faith for now,
faith,
in the moment,
hope and love.
And faith in him for my eternity.
Amen.
And yours, right?
Amen. So
the future. But then let's also look at this in light of in Christ during his time, right? And I say that because it's written by James, who we are established at the beginning, right? Is mm-hmm. in fact the natural brother of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Brother.
Mm-hmm. So he's talking about being a doer,
mm-hmm.
which also is, if you will, an admission that at one point he was not a doer. Mm-hmm. He had deceived himself, right? Even when it came mm-hmm. to his brother,
mm-hmm.
not recognizing who he is and was and is, right? But he, in other words, he's saying he had the mindset in this of a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. They heard the voice of the Lord. They studied the word of the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I say a Pharisee, even during Jesus' time, right? That's what I mean, right? All those generations later, that even in that, they did not do what the Lord said to do. They gave a verbal, right? Mm-hmm. They fulfilled the scripture again, right? That these people honor me with their lips, but their heart was far from me.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we know that? Because ultimately they crucified the Lord. And I don't mean just they. We did when we were in an opposition to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm included even in that, mm-hmm. right? Now, the Lord has offered forgiveness. All that has been brought in underneath the blood, right?
Mm, absolutely.
Yes. And you, if you have entered into relationship with the Lord, if he is your God and you are his people, you have also done that. Well, let's also understand, right? It's active. Being a doer of the word, it is active. We cannot take a break in our relationship. It's moment by moment.
Mm-hmm.
What is he saying? Not just in the written word, but what is he saying and speaking to you through Holy Spirit, even now.
Amen.
And that is what we are called to do, right? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Well, if we love him, then we're also demonstrating that love by our obedience, mm-hmm. right?
Consistent obedience.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And James, right, there's a part where he and his mother showed up and clearly there was a twist at manipulating.
Oh, you mean the Gospels when they came and, to see Jesus?
Yes, okay. Absolutely, uh-huh. right? Trying to twist and manipulate to ultimately get what they wanted and desired as opposed to understanding. Wait, Jesus is doing the will of his Father, mm-hmm. his Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. which is what they needed to be about or be doing. Amen. So the same applies to us today. What is the Father's will for you even now in this moment? What is mm-hmm. he desiring for you to do? What is he predestined for you to do on the destiny track that he's already set forth for you in his perfect will and his covenant?
Mm-hmm. Something else that I would like to share and look at is verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There are two components that I want to look at for this particular scripture. The first one being the law of liberty. I know in America, at least, we have many forms of diversion or entertainment so we can escape a situation that's not very pleasant, or, you know, live in an alternate reality. That's essentially what it is at its core, whether it be drink, television, book reading, music, you name it, socializing. It's all an attempt to live an alternate reality, to live or soothe ourselves because there's something on the inside that's missing. And there's a shape there, like if you've ever watched the TV show Hole in the Wall. The people had to match the shape of that was in the cutout of the wall, otherwise they'd be pushed in the water. So there's a hole, there's a cutout on the inside of us, and it's made for someone to be there, and that someone is the Lord, not your mother, not your father, not your brother, your sister, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. Pick something. Only the Lord can fill that. So we're, and the reason why we engage in those activities is to look for an escape. Well, the Lord, that's the he I'm referring to, did provide an escape, because what we're living right now is in actual reality. This is a shadow, a really watery shadow, a reflection of what we're actually supposed to be living. We were created, or back in the beginning, man and woman were created as eternal beings. They weren't subjected to, you know, some of the laws that we are now. Like, we can't look upon the face of the Lord and survive. Well, they could. Back in the beginning, they could do all those things and be just fine. But because of sin and because of the deception that was brought in through the sin of woman and then of Adam, there are limitations placed on us. So we're only looking at a reflection of what God intended. So the Lord, his word, through his word, has provided us a door so we can look at the perfected. That doesn't mean you try to look at the Lord's face. That's not what that means. But to see what God truly intended and what he created for us, this is what the gate is. This is the doorway to it, the perfect law of liberty, to escape the snares of the adversary, to escape the death, the doom, despair, and destruction he's trying to bring. So that being said, the second half that I wanted to look at was being a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does. If you apply God's precepts to your life, all you'll have is good success. Solomon wasn't the richest man on earth because Solomon was so awesome. His hair was so long and his curls were so curly. It was because of the wisdom of the Lord that he was operating under. How do I know that? Because if you look back when Solomon got old, his pagan wives led him astray. He said, I don't need the Lord because I'm King Solomon. I got all these riches and everybody respects me. And he fell away. So it wasn't about Solomon.
He chose, let's bring him back to the garden. Like Adam, he chose to listen to his wife instead of the Lord and the Lord's wisdom. That's why his wives led him astray. Right? That's exactly what the Lord said concerning Adam. You chose to listen to your wife, denoting it was not then listening to the Lord.
Well, and it really just says his heart.
Exactly.
Was that not such loyal that he rather listened to his wife than listened to God? It wasn't that the wives were so tantalizing or so evil that they were able to sway him. That was the decision he made with his own heart.
Exactly.
To reject the Lord. That's what God, you chose.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have said, you chose to listen to that wind, the reed shaking in the wind. And made a different decision, but the woman just was a coincidence to that. It was a choice against the Lord.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then back to the applying of the word, being blessed in what you do. Go back and read Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus. I know there are only like 14 verses of blessing, but it contains everything. And then you have a lengthy description of the consequences of sin. And that doesn't even begin to capture it.
Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28.
Yes. Oh, did I say Deuteronomy 14?
You did. But that's all right.
Sorry. Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses were all the blessings. If you'll be careful to hear and obey the voice of the Lord your God today, and then your basket will be overflowing and your flocks will be big and giant. And, you know, the fruit of your body will be healthy when you bring it forth. Your name will be blessed. Your name, you know, will be worth something. That's also tied to Proverbs. The name of the righteous is blessed, but the memory of the wicked will perish. So you see all the benefits, and then we look at how many times we try to cut God out of the equation. Isn't that funny? We want to use a formula, but then we cut out some of the elements in said formula.
The primary ingredient.
The primary main perfect ingredient. Yes.
It's like trying to make a cake and you don't even use the flour. You leave out the cake mix, but you get the eggs and the water and you pop that puppy in the oven and think you're going to come out with the cake. It's oven baked egg at that point. So it just strikes me as funny. And the Lord reminded me of all the times that I tried that I was like, well, Lord, I don't need you. I'm just as smart. Don't you know that I passed this exam? It was me sitting down to take that test, not you. You were up in heaven. And the Lord said, never mind the fact that when you couldn't figure it out, you said, oh, Lord, please, 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 please. You were wiggling in your chair and kicking your legs, hoping that I heard your prayer because you needed help. And you realized that you didn't have it like you thought you did. You didn't know everything. So also what James is talking about here, back to the humility piece. You don't get anywhere by being prideful and arrogant. You don't get anywhere good. I'm pretty sure it's Job where the Lord says, and who is the father of the prideful and the arrogant? I was talking about the devil. So because we're children of the Lord, we should be humble in everything that we do. Always asking him questions, not from a position or a standpoint of trying to nitpick him or find fault with him, because there is none. You can search day in and day out and you'd spend your eternity doing that and you'll still find nothing wrong with the Lord. No bad thing, no anything. All you'll find is good. And I'll be there to stand and smile and nod as you find that good. And then you transition and you pursue him in his heart. Only the Lord is the only one that brings blessing. And he meant what he said in John when he was telling the people, hey, this is what the adversary is out to do. And this is what I'm out to do. They thought, no, Jesus, you're lying. You're out to do what the devil's actually doing. And the devil's out to do what you're actually doing. And that was so far wrong. It's shameful to repeat. But so for us, understanding, as you said, Mom and Dad, and you drill into us day in and day out, that the only good that we could ever hope to have in our life, the only blessing that we can hope to experience, and it's not just a vain hope, like he's dangling the carrot and he's going to snatch it away. He's not doing that. But the good that we desire to experience, to have the spouses that love the Lord first and foremost, and then love us, and then will love our families, and have the job that the Lord laid out for us, it's only found in the Lord. But if we put our hands on it, well, you're going to know that we put our hands on it. We're going to know that we put our hands on it, and it's not going to be what the Lord intended. So the Lord has made a way of escape so that you don't have to suffer perpetually because of sin. Now, as you said, Mommy, with Solomon and with each and every one of us, we have to make the decision to actually walk through the door. That was all I had to say for now.
Well, Layla, as you're speaking, the Lord reminded me of 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12. And it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I
You were on the right track, just as I also am known.
Oh, thank you, Layla. Mm-hmm. And tying that back to what you were saying about the mirror, murky water, about how when we're not looking inside of through God's lenses, and also going back to what you were saying, that being an effective doer, and going back to verse 21, how that God has instilled in each and every one of us a plan for our life. But oftentimes, as you were saying, Layla, we end up not being able to see it because we're too busy blinded by our flesh instead of actually allowing God to reveal it to us. Mm-hmm. So that we may be obedient to his plan. And tying that back to verse 26 through the end of the chapter, talking about religion, Lily, you brought up in yesterday's episode about how it's more so worship. Mm-hmm. And how that our worship is ultimately our obedience to his word. We can't be obedient if we do not know what we're supposed to be obedient to, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can't technically look at something if you do not know what you're looking at. Mm. Nor can you solve a problem if you don't know what you're solving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so because God has put that inside of our lives, we have to ask God to reveal it to us, so that we may walk forward. I believe Habakkuk says, write the vision and make it plain so that those who see it may walk and run with it. That's me paraphrased, of course. Mm-hmm. And
amen.
How because God has already done that, it's also for our good. And I'll stop there.
All right. Well, thank you. There's a lot in there. We're going to pause there for today. And give you time to meditate on that scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you so the word can be written on the tablet of your heart. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for the joy that we have in our lives, Lord, and the laughter we find in you, the peace, the shalom, the wholeness, the soundness, the wellness that you have always provided for us, Lord, and that you continue to, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord, that you love us as a father loves his children, Lord, that you train us, that you teach us, that you encourage us, and that you equip us, Lord, so that we're successful in everything that you've asked us to do, Lord. We ask that you'll continue to minister to our partners and listeners as they go about their way, Lord. Let them be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, Lord. Let them hearken unto your voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that they're able to do everything you called them to do, Lord. And we thank you for the promises that we have in you that are yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So until next time, take care and God bless you.